just like this oil. They took it. That extra oil was not for use in this present time. They didn't need it. There was enough oil in their lamps. But that extra oil was for use when they woke up at the other end, when the Lord came. They had the extra oil ready. Oh, that is vital to grasp. Now the message of this parable becomes unique. It is unique in the sense that it answers questions that in the rest of the Lord's teaching were not answered before. It is not just another parable about staying awake. In fact, they didn't stay awake. It is not another just another parable to say, be careful and watchful. It is giving us precise and clear instruction that the only ones who made it into the wedding feast were the ones who had made provision for the age to come. What provision have you got for the age to come? I wonder. Have you got something ready for the age to come? What is your spiritual bank account like on the other side when you get there? If you want to change the picture, the imagery. What works will follow you when you go across the border into the kingdom of heaven? And is it important to have an account over there? If your citizenship is in heaven, as Paul says, then have you got an account over there? Or when you come there, you're going to be bankrupt. But bankrupt is not so bad. It's not so bad if you can go into the kingdom of God penniless so long as you get there. You see, the Lord Jesus knows that most people are quite content to get there even if they are penniless when they get there. The point here is he's telling us that you will not even enter in without it. You will not enter in without the extra oil. You will not enter in if you have so lived your life in this present age that you have not made provision for the age to come. It's another way of saying that only the spiritual man will be saved at the end, not the carnal man. It is not going to be sufficient to be a carnal Christian. You've got to be a spiritual Christian to be saved. You can't bluff God with that. Now there you can begin to see the power of this point that the Lord is making. It is a point that is truly one that challenges us very deeply and very mightily. Now let's look a little bit more deep, look a little further in this parable. Now when they find that they are running out of oil, up to now it was so far so good. Their lamps were burning up to this point. But from this point on it was going to go out. What a dreadful tragedy that you managed to keep your salvation, as it were, going until the time of the resurrection of all things, and then only at that particular point to realize that you didn't have the kind of faith that would see you through into the kingdom of God. How near, and yet how far. Look further in this parable here. What does it say? As we go on, we see here that when they woke up, they found they're out of oil, so they had to go and buy oil. They had to go and look for some oil at the last minute. And as they went, what happens? The bridegroom arrives, and they are not there to meet him. They are not there to meet him. And the result is that when they come there to the banquet hall, they find that the banquet is closed. The doors are shut. And what happens is these maidens are standing outside, the five of them banging on the door, and what do they say here? Lord, Lord, it says in verse 11, Lord, Lord, open to us. Notice the term, Lord, Lord. They call him, they're still calling him Lord. A non-Christian doesn't call Jesus Lord. Even now at this point, at this desperate moment, this unhappy moment, they are still calling him Lord. And notice the frightening answer, verse 12. But he replied, truly I say to you, I don't know you. I don't know you. It is a statement of non-recognition. You haven't made it into the kingdom, into the banquet. The banquet is often a picture of the kingdom, of course. It is very similar to Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. On that day, people will say to me, Lord, Lord, did I not do this in your name, and did I not do that to them in your name? And the Lord will say to them, depart from me, you evildoers. I don't know who you are. Depart from me. It is also very similar to a passage in Luke chapter 13. Perhaps I will just let me read to you Luke chapter 13 in this passage, that you may see the similarity. This whole section is virtually another way of putting the same parable. Verse 23. Let me read the whole passage to you from verse 23 of Luke chapter 13. And some will say to him, Lord. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. See, they tried to get in, but it was too late. They couldn't get in. When once the householder has risen up and shut the door, you will begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. And he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, but we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There you will weep and gnash your teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Now notice this. This is what it means to be excluded, to be thrust out. And men will come from the east and west and from north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. Now here you can see this whole parable is almost exactly a picture representation of what is being said here in Luke. Therefore, let us come to the conclusion of the whole matter as we close. Do not say to yourselves, and that's what the Lord is warning us, that you are a Christian today and that is fine and that's the end of the matter. The Christian life, and I have many times tried to point out this matter, that justification cannot in biblical teaching be separated from sanctification. We will use theological language. That is to say, to be saved cannot be separated from the way you think and the way you live and the way you are. And you may live a Christian life that looks quite acceptable. All 10, you couldn't have told the difference between them. They all burned torches and they all looked alike. They were all virgins, in fact. The decisive moment came at the judgment seat of Christ, you can say, at the time when Jesus came at the call of the archangel. They also rose. They all stood, as Paul says, we shall all, including the Apostle Paul, stand before the judgment seat. But at that moment, they couldn't face up to the judgment. There is where their faith proved inadequate. They ran out at the crucial moment. It had been burning all so far up to this point. Remember that. It couldn't make it at the last stretch. They had stored up nothing. They had not taken extra oil. They had nothing for the age to come. They had no credit in the age to come. Nothing. And the Lord is therefore saying to you, he is saying, I'm saying to you, it is not only good and a good idea to store up treasure in heaven. It is essential for you to store up, to use that imagery. It is essential that you so live your life today that you live it with eternity in mind. Because that will come to the test on that day, whether you lived with eternity in mind or not. The five foolish ones had not lived with eternity in mind. They had lived a Christianity which was just for this world, just enough to see them through. Just enough is simply not enough. That is the point you have to grasp. That's not enough. You've got to so live your life, whether you are doing your job, whether you are doing your studies, you live your life with that goal in view. Can you grasp the message? This point we shall continue to expound as we go on in the Lord's teaching, and the points will become even more fully explained as we proceed into the next parables. But suffice for today to ask yourself this question. Do you so live your life today that you live with the spiritual consideration in view, with eternity in view? There is the test of whether you have faith, whether you believe God is the living God or not. Whatever you may say with your mouth, the way you live will show whether you live as one who believes that the eternal God is the living God who has given us a future for which we are preparing right now and transferring our credits into that world to come, transferring our possessions, you can say, transferring our labors, all so that on that day we have this extra oil that we need by the grace of God. Let us be quiet before God in prayer.